Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, right here on this Tuesday night. Can you believe it's October the 24th already? 2023. Time is winding up. We've been grateful to do this about 7 years now, and we've been announcing every year that the year's coming and going. And we are almost out of this one. It's the 10th month. We got two more months in 2023. Hey, what are we going to do with it? Welcome, 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 welcome. Let me invite you to join us tonight in this dialogue. We do have a topic this evening, and I'll get right to that shortly, but the number to call here in the studio, you follow us on Facebook or the Blog Talk Radio platform. It's 563-999-17. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. Go ahead and give us a call, and we'll park you right there in the studio. I'll be finished with my monologue in just a second, just a brief second. So you all know that when it comes to looking at current socioeconomic status and issues for many people in the United States in 2023. A lot of conversation is out there, a lot of questions, a lot of unanswered questions. Clearly, there's a need for change, though. Okay? The question becomes, what does proactive change look like? Some may have thought already, I've changed it. Enough. I've done enough already. But the most important question, beloved, is who should bring about your change? Right? For you, your life, your family, your community. Join me tonight as we talk about it. We're going to open up our monologue here and then open up our phone lines, 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. Bear with me here as we progress to share with you, give you some context for this topic. And we're talking from the topic tonight, the outcome of proactive change. The outcomes of proactive change. You may have noticed that we posted some questions already in our conversation thread for the evening. And those questions simply are intended to jar the thought process, and in many ways God is in our discussion this evening, okay? But we ask those questions that are posted in the Facebook group. Who should initiate change needed for your community? Let's say that to your life. How does change become proactive, right? And where does proactive change start? I believe if we answer those questions, we can get somewhere. And I'm going to try to offer some information to provide answers to that in our conversation, beginning with our monologue this evening. All right, let's get right to it. You know me. I got to go to the scripture. Galatians 6 and 7 says very simply, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself for a second. Some folk try to play God for a fool. Yeah, I understand. God ain't mocked. You can't make a fool out of him. Whatever you do, whatever you plant, whatever you put out there, whatever you do for yourself, that shall you also reap. And that is, if you do nothing, you get nothing. You do something, you get something. All right? That's the text, Galatians 6 and 7. A seed is an embryonic or the beginning stage of a plant. Okay? And this plant is enclosed in a protecting outer covering, usually a soil. And what you need to understand is that this seed is a byproduct of some tree, some life form that preceded it through its process of procreation. Saying this is that anything that can be sown or planted in the soil, that's what we're talking about when we talk about a seed. Now, we should note that seed does not generate itself and get here by itself, but rather it is a result of some reproductive actions from his progenitors. That should be a thought for us this evening. To be proactive, what does it mean to be proactive? We talked about that in change, in relationship to change. But to be proactive is to take action in advance in order to deal with expected challenge or difficulty. So you plan ahead of time, requires some work. When we talk about change, change, this is a process. And the result isn't from what you had when you started. You start your process. You get something different. You don't like what you have, and be proactive and bring about something different. Now, in our discussion of outcomes of practical change, let's consider four important factors. These are me offering this to you as your host tonight, but Doctor offering this to you. I'd like to offer this for your consideration. Four factors for change. One, in order for a seed to serve its function, heard from somewhere, even if it's a thought. Okay? Number two, this seed must be properly secured, until it's time for its planting. Sometimes we mess around and take our good thing and mess it up by playing around and acting out of sorts, out of time. But you got to make sure you secure your thought, your idea, this birth of an idea, this plant, this seed, so that it can be properly planted. Three, requires willful and intentional efforts. Let me say that one more time. To be proactive requires you to be willful in what you're doing and intentional in your actions, right? In order for change to come. Number four, lastly, we're going to have change. It involves process. Say that again, Doctor. Change involves process. Step And it also requires discipline to follow that process. Huh? It's a mindset. People that are successful have latched on to, adopted, and followed a process that has worked for others. Right? There's evidence that it worked because you can see certain things in their life. You may go through the school of hard knocks and become successful at something, but if you write it down, you memorize it, you can share it with others. They can follow the same process and perhaps get the same end that you did. Who or those who say they've been oppressed or been messed around with in America because of their socioeconomic challenges, or even through some political means, or even their spiritual transformation has been halted. This will only come when you decide that you're going to either be the leader yourself or seek out someone who's willing to guide you in the process that facilitates the planting of good seeds for proactive change. This can be in your life, be in your family, in your neighborhood, your community. In order for anyone to subjugate you to being their servant or to hold you back, you've got to be present for that. And I'll submit to you tonight, you ain't got to be present. Huh? Somebody say, I'm going to do something to you. Okay, let them stand there by themselves and keep talking. Go on about your business. Right? But when you're busy being proactive and thoughtful, you don't have time to be oppressed by nobody. Yeah, you're going to have some challenges, and some people are going to probably be in business. Some of them want what you got. Okay, all right, that's fine. But that means you'll be even more determined and willful about your actions move forward. Now, I'm not speaking literally about planting a literal seed, as I am speaking about philosophically planting a seed of thought, a seed of action for you, a goal just for yourself. You understand what I'm saying? And when you do that, you, again, I want to reiterate the fact you don't have time for nobody else or their foolishness. As you're busy, you got yourself a plan. I'm convinced that if this is used properly, beloved, you'll find that you will have transformational change in your life where you are now. Want to be further, want to do something different, come up with your plan of action. Know what it is, what your purpose is. Know what your interests are, right, and your direction. You can get it. Time you look back, you'll realize you left a lot of things and perhaps a lot of people. Now, let me offer you six seeds briefly, and then we'll open up our phone lines. Six seeds of change. Well, where'd they come from? Brother Doctor is giving these to you. That's Brother Doctor giving it to you. These six seeds of change. It looks like we may be having some internet connection issues yet again. I don't know why I keep having this, but let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Let's see where we are. Yeah, I think we're okay. I'm going to keep going. If you Facebook, hopefully y'all can stick with us there and we'll be all right. In your life, in your thought, in your planning. First one is self-imposed detention. What? Many good people have learned how to be helpless. Huh? They act out of impulse and become self-destructive in the process of doing so. Like anyone else, they want conditions of change for the better. And basically, what they're asking for is the niceties of life like everybody else, right? But in the interest of change, I recommend that you impose a detention on yourself. You detain yourself from certain people, from certain actions, and the things that trigger your failure or your setback. You know what it was that got you hooked up last time. Don't go back there. Self-imposed detention. The second seed is acknowledgement. Through the process of self-assessment, yes, that means you have to look at yourself. This seed of acknowledgement should be sown in the hearts and minds of those who want to improve their personal condition and outlook. Now, this requires honesty. But sometimes I don't look like I want to. But what that tells me is what I need to do to what? Make the change. Acknowledgement. Reflection. Time to face personal reality. Accepting both the good and the not so good. This is a seed called reflection that allows us to move toward improving. Acknowledgement, reflection, self-imposed attention. Those are the first three. Number four, instruction. Open yourself up to learning from people who have been successful, particularly those who've done what you're striving to do. You want to be an engineer? Talk to an engineer. You want to be a doctor? Talk to a doctor. A lawyer? Talk to you. Huh? Someone who's had the experience. Let them. If you want to be a good parent, talk to people who've raised fruitful children. You understand what I'm saying? But knowledge is always powerful, and the more you have it, the better you'll come off. And the better you'll be when you got that knowledge. Amen, somebody. I wish I had a witness here. Strategize. I know somebody will say, well, ain't nobody doing all that. That's your problem. I love you like peanut butter loves jelly, but that's your problem. You ain't doing all that because that's all you need to be doing. It requires you to be organized and have a business mentality for you to write down a vision for yourself. Yes, take the time to write it down. And basically what you do is you allow yourself the opportunity to, may hear Blog Talk Radio. Look like we, Facebook has got us knocked offline here, so we're going to have to restart our video over again. And I'm not sure what's going on with it, but here we go. We keep having the same little issue here. And we go live, and there we go. All right. So I think you're still with me on the Blog Talk Radio platform there. So what I was just speaking of is strategizing, the need to be strategic, have a plan, write it down, right? Accordingly, when you strategize, you're able to see a start from one point, what you say you want to do and how you got there. Now you have documentation that you were successful in your movement and your action. Then the last thing, number six, these are seeds of change. Action. Whenever there is an organized operation, the seed of action can bring about the change needed and desired anybody. This has nothing to do with your ethnicity, nothing to do with how much money you got, what family you were born in, where you live. Using these principles, these ideas, these seeds of change, you can go anywhere, do anything, achieve whatever you want. You have to ask yourself, do you want to be certain things, of course, right? Is that for you? That's the part of reflection that we talked about. See? And in addition to reflection, acknowledging what your gifts and talents are. This helps you to shape a realistic plan for yourself. And then go learn, get the instruction, find the information you need, right? But impose discipline on yourself and detention detain yourself from certain things and certain people that will hold you back. Take that action on that thing. Guess what? You'll get somewhere. You'll get somewhere. So you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Doctor. Played last week a song from Etta James that was a remake from James Brown. Okay. And I said that they wouldn't maybe not believe me or James Brown without it being a man's world. A caller got me straight last week. I appreciate our conversation there out of Michigan. But tonight, I want to, as a matter of reflection, I want y'all to listen to what this fellow
I was born by the river.
Daryl Owens. Talked about Brian Owens, I'm sorry, and his father sang the song.
Like the river,
563-999-3617. Come on, get in where you fit in. You don't talk straight tonight.
Long time coming, but I know change gonna come. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there, the other sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yeah. Then I hold my brother, and I say, brother, have the peace. But he knocking back down on me. Oh, the time that I thought I couldn't last alone.
Now I think that I'm
now I think I'm in. Oh, I'm
able,
Father,
to carry us. What do you think out there, Brother Pastor? 8625, join us here on Talk Straight. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, sir. What's happening with you? Pastor Doctor.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yo. All right, but I hear you listening to that good music.
You think we can make a change, Brother Preacher? You think it changes?
Yeah, it's got to come, man. Yeah, it's got to be a change available.
How many people are screaming and hollering about their condition and where they are, you know, and they're looking for something. But if we don't change it, who's going to change it for us, Pastor?
Yeah, that's the thing about it, brother. I don't even look for them to do it myself.
Okay.
It's not fair to do that, because it would be detrimental for me to believe that somebody is going to come and do something that we should be doing. And I just choose to say, we don't do it, it don't get done.
Uh-oh. So if I don't put nothing in, I should be looking for nothing out? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. It doesn't go like that. Something about it. You put effort. You know, you put effort. I mean, that's something that you're making moves then. But if you're expecting someone else to do it, but it's something that we must, should, and ought to do, then that's not going to happen too quick. And definitely not going to happen too quick then. And that's just me saying that because of my experience, because realizing that they don't do stuff like that. You know, that's not the way it goes.
That's interesting you said that, because that's what I addressed in the monologue, that when you seek out information from somebody who has been successful at something, you understand what I'm saying? What you learn is how they did it. What worked for them, you know?
That's right.
And what did sometimes we go through life faster. And we learn it through the school of hard knocks, process of elimination. And that's okay, too. But for those people who've been through it already and they know the road and they have a proven success track record, what's wrong with stopping by and picking their brains if they allow you to anyway? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. There's something about that, too, man. I tell you, we haven't learned yet. To learn success in whatever arena it is, sometimes, you know, the word says, you know, do not withhold.
Mm.
And that means hold back on something that the people deserve. And when you know that you are doing what the word does say about that, and they still don't step up, man, that's got to be a terrible taste right there. I know I'm so about to withhold this information, so I'm giving it up. But it seemed like at this point, they refuse to appreciate what the truth is. That could be it, or it could be some of the other things that you can name. You know, jealous, envy.
Mm.
You can have... Mm. You know, there's a mentality. All of that is a mentality. But all I see is teamwork. I see the order of team oriented, playing, you know, whatever the game is, from basketball to football to baseball, soccer ball, whatever it is, it's just a team sport. So if you're playing together, and I think you were playing a song when I tapped in, you're talking about a change.
Yeah, change gonna come. Right on that. Yeah.
How long does it take for a change to take place?
Wait a minute.
Because this change is gonna come. How long?
Wait now. And who's gonna bring it? And who's gonna bring it? Those are the questions that we ask. Who's responsible? Let me just reiterate the questions. 563-999 3617, that's the number to call. Give us a call. Don't give us a call. Those are the questions we ask. We put that in the thread, in the Facebook thread. Who should initiate the change, Pastor? That's what we ask. How does change become proactive? And where does proactive change start? Can I reiterate what the text was I used tonight for the monologue, Pastor?
Sure.
You know, Galatians, you're probably familiar with this, Galatians 6 and 7, the writer says, be not, God is not mocked. For whatever man, that shall he also reap. Now, why is it that some of my people, my beloved brothers and sisters, white and black, tend to take the notion that I can maybe pull the reality in other people, and I can get by without doing no work, without putting no work in. Why?
Help me.
What it? We're going to make it out of stuff. Huh?
So you can get by without putting no work in?
No kind of work.
Yeah, no, that's not good. You gotta put some work in, and you know that's just the way it is. It's designed that you should put the work in. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You just said you'll be not deceived. You say God is not mocked. You know, say for whatsoever man soweth, he was talking about he's going to reap. That shall he also reap. That the word does say. And if it says that, a person lines up with it, and he said, first thing he was telling you, be not deceived.
Don't let nobody.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Don't let nobody pump your head up with that.
Yeah, because this show could happen. It can definitely happen really quick.
Listen to the wrong
person. Before you
know
it. Yeah, before you know it, brother.
And can I go a step further, Pastor? Can I go a step further? Anyone who's that young or old, I love my old folk, but I want to help young folk get a good start. Anyone telling young folk that you're not going to make, there are no sacrifices ahead of you, that you're not going to have to go through some things on your, of course, age appropriate. Now, you can avoid a lot of challenges, again, if you reach out to people who've been there before you. That's the smartest thing you can do. But even at that, you're going to have to prove yourself, right? You're going to have to work that thing. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, most certainly. It's intelligent to do that. I mean, you know, you have what it takes, and, you know, it takes what you have. You put that together, and you put effort. As I say, when you put effort, that means, you know, I don't know how to do it, but I am going to put effort. And then you learn how to do it, and that's a big portion of it right there. You know, you said there's nothing wrong with learning how to do it.
No.
Sometimes you'll be amazed that you actually can do it. And all
that's
of a sudden you say, okay, well, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like change. Change is important, man. Change is valuable.
It is. It is.
For
but
real.
The thing is, Brother Preacher, I think we both agree that you don't get change without action. And You can do anything, spin your wheels in the ground, but if you're not focused and deliberate about what you want to do and you have an idea of where you want to be, you waste your time, you see. But this requires work. And ideally, what parents do for children is they teach them and instill these principles in them as they grow up. So when they become adults, that's what Bible says, train up the child in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, man. Now, that's highly important now.
Yeah. It didn't suggest it was a habit or misguided or anything, but it said in the way that he should go. See?
Yeah,
what is that way? I submit to you that these six principles or seeds of change that I shared are going to be helpful when you're rearing your children, you know. But at the end of the day, if you want to see change, it's up to you to bring it. Wait on anybody else. We talked about that last week about how in church houses, folk go there because they hurt, they're sick, and they come out worse than they went in some places. You understand what I'm saying? And
right.
It is their duty to make sure when people come in there, looking for knowledge, information, to build a relationship with Christ, with God, that they get that from the house of God. I understand why they go in there, making themselves vulnerable with their arms wide open. You know, they're looking for something. Providing that, then I'm doing them a disservice. Likewise, parents have a role and responsibility for their children early on to get them right. Anyway, don't get me on my soapbox. I was on my soapbox earlier.
there's a position though that a parent does have.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
that's not to be denied.
And
what's happening is it's got a lot of things going on, and the person can't see the change is going to take place. It's hard sometimes for them to believe that the change will take place, that it could take place. They just have a thought of, this is what I do right now, and I'm just doing it. I don't believe that I should be stressing whether I'm going to be able to change it or not. And that could also overtake a person's effort, and they won't even put effort. I'm already doing this. I've been doing it for a few days, and I've been doing it for a few weeks, for a few months, for a few years. I'm just in it now. But that's where change comes in at. If you don't know and you have knowledge that someone does know, what do you do? You know, you go and you inquire. How do you do it? And that's what's happening, man. A lot of people just refuse to just believe that, you know, that change is possible. It's hard, man. It's hard when they get to that point. You don't even realize that you know that there's somebody that have experienced what you're dealing with, and they're giving you the knowledge of knowing that it can be accomplished. You can change this particular thing. And they still have a hard time.
Right.
Yeah, because bad habits are hard to break. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when we get comfortable, man, when we get good and comfortable, you know what I mean, get cozy in what we're doing, and then somebody tell us we have to change that, hold up, wait a minute now. I just sat down.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about right there. Hey, can you wait a little longer? And that's where the prolonging comes in at.
Yeah, give me a minute, man.
The word comes more faster than that. It comes way quicker than that. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah. Change can take place. So if it takes place that quick, and then you want to prolong it, that's saying you're afraid of change.
Right.
And that happens as well.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the song. You're probably familiar with this, the old song, Sit Down, Serve It.
I just got to heaven. Yeah.
I can't sit down. You've been working a long time. Sit down. Serve it.
Yeah. That's it. I've heard that song before. It's been a while, but I heard it before. I definitely heard it.
Old folks, you sing it all the time.
But
today, though, we were talking about the outcomes of practical change. To be practical means to be honest, to be focused, right, and to work toward in the end, right? So a lot of times, many people assume, Pastor, that you just go in and whatever happens, you go with the flow. That's one way.
Okay.
That's one way you can do it. That's one way you can do it. And then a more effective way and a more productive way, spinning your wheels and going in circles, is to be strategic. And lay out some things. The Bible says, without a vision, help me, Holy Ghost, of people will perish. That's what I read.
That's right.
I read. Yeah.
That's what
without a vision, you'll mess up. You understand? And maybe, I wonder if that's why the children of Israel were in the wilderness so long. They were so hard-headed, man, disobedient and stiff-necked, that not even God himself could lead them out of the wilderness before they 40 years.
Man, say that when you're dealing with, I guess I would say the issues of life, when you're dealing with issues of life and you have different people you know, and they have their differences. How do you address somebody when you feel the need of the answer and you say, well, I have the answer and I don't mind sharing it? Do you just say, well, I don't think they're going to receive it, so I might as well keep it to myself, don't waste the time, you know? Or do you just tell them anyway?
Well, you know, that's funny you asked that, man, because I often think about how I've gone broke trying to give people information they don't want. You know what I mean? And the Bible told me to give not that which is holy unto dogs. No respect. But essentially what it's saying is when you have valuable information, if somebody don't, you know, if it's not going to fall on good ground, why plant that seed there? You know what I mean?
Yep, that's the thing. Sometimes that happens to be thought.
Yes.
You know, that comes across, you know, like, what's the use of telling them when they really don't have a concern for it? You know, it's like, just make sure you don't get upset if you tell them they don't accept it.
And, you know, I find that's what happens to a lot of people, believers, Pastor. They're so adamant about sharing the good news that they go out of their way to try to force people to accept it. You understand what I'm saying? And they castigate hell if they don't see it the way you see it. They're so excited about, you know, what God has done for them that they want to tell them. If you don't get excited with them, they're offended, man. But the truth of the matter is change and even success comes from within the individual. Now, the best we can do is to be a light, to be a model, right? And even be a voice of instruction. But the reality is people have got to do it themselves, man. They've got to take hold of it and act on it. Because if they don't, you know, when I looked at some of the recent frictions here locally, you know, it well around the country too, but specifically locally in the last few years, it's clear to me that the grievance that has been that's been shared, a lot of it, what I saw for years, and I know you and I have been talking for years, and I know I've been dealing in Nashville for a long time, a lot of things that should have been done, changes should have been made on the individual level years ago, still haven't been made.
Right.
Now these people are good and grown. Huh? And their children are good and grown. Their children are good and grown. But yet they find themselves in the same predicament oftentimes they were 20 and 30 years ago. Well, if you don't make the change, who's going to make it for you? Nobody.
That's it. It goes back to that. You know, if you don't, yeah, who's going to make it? Who's going to make the change? That's just the question.
Right.
I
had an African American elected official to tell me everybody can't do that. Talking about following certain principles, right, to keep themselves above the fray and have a focus and discipline. Everybody can't do that, Reverend Doctor. You may have done that, but everybody can't do that. And my first question was, well, why not? Does something their brain? Are they retarded? I mean, you know what I mean? Are they disabled? What's going on? What do you mean everybody can't? Well, okay, if they dead, they can't. That's true. All right. Maybe if they're locked up, they're restricted from certain things. But even then, you can study in the prison. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, explain to me why it is you think that everybody can't be as successful as you are. You understand what I'm saying? And there are people looking at you because you're an elected official, and they're expecting you to give them a word of encouragement, a guidance. And I don't know, you make me kind of wonder about you, listening to you right now.
Make me kind of wonder.
Yeah, man.
If you come down to what do you do, that's the big time question, when you're faced with issues that the Bible says that blessed be the God who daily load us with benefits. So if a person actually trusts him and they have society, you know, doing their own thing and standing in the need for change, but change is not being presented to them, what do?
Right.
I mean, they're seeking change, and they could be believing that somebody's going to come out of the building and go to help them. That could be a thought that people are dealing with. Why they won't come out and say nothing? They're inside the church saying something. Why they don't come out here? I heard that the word said they should go out into the world and preach the gospel. That's what I heard somebody say.
Faster, I got to go outside, man. Come on, man. You telling me I got to get up and go outside, too?
Yeah, man, I know you got a lot going on inside, but still, what you going to do, keep it to yourself? that's what they do. I think that's what they did. They got to be if they're not taking it to the streets, like taking it to the place where people deserve to know.
Need to know. I think about when people's approach to helping the homeless and even drug addicts. When I don't hear a plan or strategy in there for them to ultimately be on their own, this is the perpetual thing where they're always out of your hands. That disturbs me because, right now they're not where they want to be, but if we're successful in what we're doing, I ought to get them to a point where they're on their feet, right? Maybe I'm wrong, but at some point they ought to be on their feet and ready to move forward for themselves. You know, you understand what I'm saying, Brother Bridget? Now,
yeah, at some point.
Strong enough to walk. So you got to help, lever me up or hold me up, help me stay steady, and even walk with me until I learn to carry my own body weight again and walk again. But how long, you asked the question, how long does it take for change to come? Well, that really kind of depends on what you're doing, don't it? And how serious you are about what you're doing. That's a big factor right there, And I want to be honest with people, Pastor. I don't want to give people no pie in the sky idea about what it's going to take to change their situation. Now, get ready to get ugly, to get nasty if you have to. If you want it now, if you believe in it. Huh?
If you want it. If you desire it bad enough.
Yeah. Whatsoever sacrifice is necessary, you'll be ready to do it. All right, well, let me, 563-999-3617. We got about another 10 minutes here before we wrap up for tonight. My good friend, Pastor Ricky Wallace, is on with us. How are things going out there, Brother Preacher?
Say that, Pastor.
How are things going out there?
It's really actually it's going pretty good, man. I must say, it's getting people's attention.
Yes, sir.
And that's big, man. That's real big. They're testifying and about the goodness and I'm seeing the evidence of it.
Well, that's a blessing there. Pastor Lomax, he had two brothers to pass around the same time, man. He's back home now, as I understand, but he had death in his family, double death in the family there. And but we're praying for him continuously.
Well, that's what we have to continue to pray. Believe God, man. Things are just happening. And, I was thinking about when a person put in a request, and the Word of God does state very clear about that. then the request be made known unto God. And you have to keep doing it. You know, because the world don't have that divine lineup. You know, and I'm saying that because of once upon a time being in the world like that and, you know, God knowing that I didn't know anything. So if there's a few people out there like that right now, you know, they're probably waiting on somebody to come out there and say, man, somebody need to help me because I don't know what to do. But if you got people in the church that's dealing with the same thing and they don't know what to do, then what do you have? That goes back to that question. What do they have?
Well, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, do you think it would be helpful if, for those churches that are there, if we worked collaboratively to, you know, come up with a common set of things that, in regards to where you go, which church you go to, you're going to see the same thing in terms of help, strategy. You understand what I mean? How helpful, how useful do you think that would be?
That's where the team-oriented desire come in at. You know, it's, it comes in right there. Sure
this ain't the first time. Ain't the first time we brought this up, but we talked about the essential role that the house of God can play in resolving a lot of these issues, solving many of these problems. You know, but the people that are there in leadership have to be open and willing to embrace. Pastor.
Have to be willing.
Yeah, open and willing.
You have to be, it's what the word does say that. You know, if you're willing and obedient, you know, you can eat the good of the land. I mean, it's like it's a lot of good things that can be available, and it's something that can be reached. But it's a requirement of what needs to be done. So how to go about doing it, it comes back to that. You know, being able to collaborate, you know, that means you bring in forth, you know, substance, things that would be beneficial. You would like to see what can be utilized that could help. And instead of that selfish, you know, because Satan has work. He's not selfish, man. He welcomes anybody to come in his kingdom. You just got to do some work when you come in.
What?
You're going to do some work when you come in.
Uh-oh.
So why not do work when you get inside the kingdom of God? So you don't, Satan ain't never caring about no what particular church you went to or what mosque you went to or where you go at right now. He's just, all he needs you to do is join in with him, and he's okay with that. So that's tough, man. That's real tough. Believe me, it is. It's real tough. But it can be accomplished. That's the part that I really like is to know that when you have, because the words say, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. He said, be in the midst of people. So that, to me, is an avenue that one should at least consider.
Right. Well, I mean, that makes sense to me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You were talking about church and the devil and what have you. The scripture tells us in Matthew's 18th chapter that whatever's done on, and let, Savior said, whatever's bound in heaven will be bound on earth. Follow that, you know, and God will bless it. On in heaven as well as in earth, you know what I mean? And I'm gonna tell you what, I ain't waiting to die to go to heaven now. I want to get there. Don't give me, when it's time, go there. But I'm not waiting on the reward until I get. I'm not gonna hold my reward. That I, there's some things right here that I believe that I promised, and we can have. I
right
I heard
here, on earth.
right here on earth. I heard the scripture say, I would that ye prosper. Help me, Holy Ghost. And not just be in peace, but being perfect. How about that, man? How about that?
That's the word.
I mean, prosper. Wow, wow, wow. To do well, to succeed, to move forward. I would that you prosper and be
perfect.
I'm grateful that we have, that if we don't know, Pastor, we can go to it and find out. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we got a few more minutes here, Pastor. Give me some good news I can use all day tomorrow. You know, it's Medicare season, Pastor, and I'm doing the Medicare sale, so trying to get folks and get them written up so they can get their Medicare benefits or what have you. Hold on one second.
Oh, yeah.
4953 just joined us. I don't know why he waits to this late. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Well, I called. I was applying for a job.
You're applying for a job? We're not tiring, sir. We don't have any jobs here. How's it going in St. Louis? Right quickly. Give us right quickly in St. Louis. We're gonna wrap up here in just a second. How you doing that way?
Well, I'm down in Louisiana where it's nice.
Oh, is that right? Okay. I heard a big pile up down there, man. A few people lost their lives on Highway 55 the other day. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about it. People lose their lives every day.
Unfortunately, they do. Yes, they do.
What's been going on with you? You
well,
won any election?
Did I win any election? I think I did, but
that's
another story. That's another story. We're still out working, though. We're still out working. So,
And
trying to be true to the things that we said we would do in an election. That's. I often tell people that what's most important is not what you say to win, but what you do even if you don't win. That really speaks to what your intentions were. So we're still on the battlefield.
Well, we got about 200 people we got to process here for a convention of states, man. They signing these people up. They signing a petition and getting involved like hotcakes.
Oh, really? Wow. You're trying to call the Constitutional Convention?
Yes, you signed a petition?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't know that you all were organizing such a thing.
Going on for 10 years.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe
so what you should do is go to conventionofstates.org and sign the petition. And somebody there in Tennessee will kind of get a hold of you, and you'd be happy that you did. You know, people complain about things, but they got the power in their hand to change everything that they complain about, but they don't utilize it. They just like to complain.
Okay. That's interesting. We were talking about outcomes of practical change. Practical change. What we were talking about tonight. That was our topic for the evening. And I got Pastor Wallace.
Well, you know, the reason why some things are so out of whack is because people don't live up to their civic responsibility and work to straighten things out. They got the power. They got the power.
Mm-hmm.
Neither the courts, nor the president, nor the Congress can stop them.
I concur. I so concur. Yeah, and it's going to take some strategic planning and knowledge and all of those things to get us where we need to be. But, hey, everybody don't want to be there, St. Louis. Everybody don't want to be there. So.
Well, everybody don't want to be there. Whenever I hear them complain, I ask them a simple question. What have you do to exercise your civic duty? Well, I say, you have a nice day.
Yeah, that's part of the social contract. That's part of that social contract there. All
right, well, I'll let you get back to your show. You got about 30-some-odd minutes.
No,
and 28 minutes. So.
We're going to wrap up here.
I know all that time costs money, and money is valuable.
We appreciate you joining us, my friend.
All right, I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. All right, Brother Pastor, we appreciate you. Final thought before we get out of here, and we're going to end with change. We're going to end with change.
Man, that's good. That's good, man. Change is a powerful tool, brother. That's what it's all about.
Yes, it is.
Knowing that you can change it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast change can take place.
I love it. For the good. All right. Yes, sir. Well, I should join us this evening, sir. And for our listening audience, we thank you that may have followed us on Facebook. My internet connection went low on again, and it went off, and it came back on, and we had to start the live stream over again. Pastor, I tell you, this computer equipment, it do what it wants to, don't it?
Yeah, it's got a man of his own, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It does.
So the Block Talk
Radio. Smart.
Facebook live stream. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. Until then, we want to thank our friend here for joining us, and we'll see y'all on the other side of a week in October. All right. Have a good evening there.
Get a little upset. Like the river I've been running. Running ever since. It's been a long time. Long time coming. But I know change will come. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there, the upper sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change's gonna come. Oh, yeah, then I go my way. And I said,